Shall we turn this evening to the words that we read in the Gospel of John in chapter 15. And the message this evening will be in the verses 1 to 5. John chapter 15 and verses 1 to 5. And that is page 1242. I'll read verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And we've been considering the I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had I am the bread of life, and now this evening I am the true vine. And the purpose of the message this evening is to show the importance placed by the Lord Jesus Christ of this essential and living spiritual relationship between himself and his people. And in these verses, the Lord teaches us how this can be a real experience for blessing in our life. And the Lord Jesus begins by saying to us, I am the true vine. And the description given of himself as the true vine is to remind us that he is the real source. He is the reason of all spiritual fruit and blessing in the life of the Christian believer. The word true here in the original means genuine. It means to be original. It's not some hand-me-down truth. It's not some hand-me-down person, second generation. This is the real original. This is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God made man, the true vine. And the word true then has the meaning of being genuine, original, but also proven to be true. And the picture of the vine suggests to us this evening several truths about Christ, but particularly nourishment and fruit from the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I would suggest to you this evening is that a vine is not actually valued for its looks. If you look at the vine, actually it's often gnarled and twisted and all misshapen, in and of itself, we wouldn't necessarily say it's attractive to look at. And so a vine is not valued for its looks. A vine is valued for its fruits. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why it's so difficult when people attempt to draw pictures and paintings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Invariably, they tend to draw these incredible pictures of a man to try and attract us to the visage of the man. But the Bible tells us actually that the visage of Christ was marred more than any other man. But how wonderful were the fruits coming from this man, Christ Jesus. And so we worship Jesus where union to Jesus is all to do with the spiritual blessing that comes from him. When Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, known also as communion, which we hope to partake about in a few moments, he taught how the cup containing the fruit of the vine was a symbol of his shed blood. The shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross being the evidence of his sufferings and death. And this has a great fruit. This vine, which in and of itself is nothing to look at, but the fruit is everything. And the fruit of the vine is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is the picture that Jesus has given us. And this fruit brings to us this evening forgiveness and reconciliation. It brings peace and hope. It brings joy and eternal inheritance for all those who trust in him. And so it is that this evening the Lord Jesus calls his people to remind us, depend upon Christ the vine for your spiritual nourishment and growth and fruit. For only in him, as we abide in him, as we look to him and trust in him and walk with him, can we bear the Christ-like fruits of the Holy Spirit. I am the true vine, the genuine one, the proven one, the original one. And my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges, he prunes it, and cleans it, that it may bear more fruit. It may bear more fruit. Here the similitude moves to the church, as it is depicted by the branches. And God the Father, as the divine gardener, holds the pruning shears. And this is a word of assurance for us this evening. It is God the Father that is the gardener. Jesus said he is the true vine, but the Father is the gardener, the vine dresser. So everything that God allows in his sovereign permissive will in our life is under his care. It's under his protection. It's under his authority. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit, the hymn writer says. Well, there is a solemn statement made here that the fruitless branches are cut and taken away according to his perfect knowledge and wisdom. Now here the Lord is, in the picture language here, is simply referring to those that call themselves Christians and yet have no real desire to have a union with the vine, with the Lord Jesus. In fact, it's irrelevant to them. They are Christians. They may well go to church. They may well be involved in some position in the church, but they haven't really any interest in a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it doesn't concern them, actually. It's all to do with something on the outside rather than a spiritual exercise on the inside. In the picture here, they never really abode in Christ. They were pictured as part of the church, but they never really properly were abiding in the vine. They are not really, truly part of the church of the living God. By contrast, there are those branches that do bear fruit, but they are also, they're pruned, and they're purged. In the AV, it says purge, which is actually more accurate, because it speaks of not only the cutting, but the cleansing of the branches, and it speaks of the sanctification work that God does by his Spirit in the life of the believer as they abide in Christ Jesus. But I want us to take comfort as the Lord's people from this text this evening, because God's work in our life, even if it's a pruning work this evening, if it's a cleansing work this evening, it is painful. But I want to remember this evening that the very reason God is working in your life is that you might bear more fruit. There's a reason. There's a purpose. God never plays with us. He's dealing with us. And it's very painful. And we wonder, oh Lord, do you really have to cut so hard? Do you really have to purge so hard in my life? And yet always remember this. There is always an afterward with God. And the very reason he's doing it is that you are already abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the reason you're having this experience, because you're actually abiding in the vine. And the very reason, the purpose, is that you might bear more fruit, even more than you've done in the past. And so God deals and prunes our lives and deals with issues in the soul that are hindering us. He does this out of love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. What father is there that doesn't chasten his son? And so it is the Lord chastens us at times. And it's part of the divine gardener's work. Always remember, the pruning shears are not in anyone else's hands, but that of the Father. And that helps us to be confident this evening that all that the Father permits in our life is for a purpose. Maybe the Lord has to prune us or to purge us because there has been a reliance upon works. And without perhaps realizing it, we've built up a religion that's actually resting upon our works rather than upon the Lord Jesus. It's not that we've not really been abiding in the vine, but we've not been abiding in a way which has been profitable. So profitable. And we become reliant more upon our works. Perhaps some are reliant upon tradition. Perhaps some are reliant upon efforts, and perhaps we become proud. Perhaps we become worldly in our attitude. And so the Heavenly Father knows that we are in Christ, and he desires for us to bear fruit. He has to deal with our life. And God has a pruning time. He knows exactly the time to prune. Now, we have a book at home on plants, and you know, it's important for a novice to look up the book and decide where and find out when it is right to particularly prune a plant or a tree. And so we have to look up the book and find out so we do not damage a plant or a tree. But God knows exactly the time to prune your life. And he always does it with love and with grace. And we are to remember two things here in particular. The pruning is always for positive ends, to bear more fruit. And if we look at verse 8, it is to bear much fruit. So God is going to do something wonderful in your life. If you submit to his dealings in your life and you seek to abide in Christ Jesus, and even if it costs you, even if there's a sacrifice involved in it, dear friend, be encouraged. The Lord's going to do a wonderful work. Not just bear more fruit, but bear much fruit. And remember, the pruning shears are in the hands of the divine gardener. And the cutting trains us to more dependence on the vine, and as a consequence, more fruit. And our wisdom is simply to trust and rest in the divine heavenly gardener's pruning. He is the all-wise husbandman, and he prunes according to his wisdom and his grace and mercy and truth and faithfulness to bear more fruit. Sometimes, you see, in our Christian lives, we become a bit like machines, and we become lethargic. Sometimes our Christian lives seem like we're walking through treacle, and every Lord's Day is an effort, and it's like walking through treacle sometimes. And God in his mercy and grace and truth deals with us in such a way to liberate our souls. And he does this by cutting and by pruning and by cleansing and purging, by sanctification and cleansing. The purpose of the Father in doing so is always to bear more fruit. And the purpose of abiding in the Son is that we may know spiritual strength and fullness of joy. But if we move on to verse 3 of this short passage we're considering, it says in verse 3, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Now with his word, Christ leads his people into his truth, and he teaches them for pure doctrine, that we might be cleansed from error, from spiritual disease, and from that which decays. Now doctrine, dear friends, is very important. I think in the on the rack at the back there is a little booklet which is a very abridged version of the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. And one of the projects for this year might well be for you to take that little booklet and take it home. Well, get some more from the tabernacle if we've not enough. And just go through it week by week over this year. And look at some of the precious doctrines there. Because the doctrine is so important for us. The truth is so important for us. That we might be solid. That we might be fruitful. And we're taught three ways here by which we experience cleansing in our lives spiritually. Jesus said, "Now you are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Now, there is the gospel word. The gospel word, that is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, whereby we are forgiven and justified by faith and cleansed and made right with God. Then there is the indwelling sanctification, that is the cleansing influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But thirdly, and more particularly here, which is meant by the word of God, which is applied to the mind, and it has the effects of cleansing our mind, and it enters into our heart, and thus affects our will. And the word of God, attended with power, always has a sanctifying effect upon the soul. And the Lord would have us understand the blessing of the cleansing here, affected by his word. We read of Christ's prayer later on in the Gospel of John, that the truth would positively affect our lives, and he prays to his Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth." And thy word is truth. So as we come back to the basic fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith as taught in the word of God, and we examine them, you will find it will have a cleansing effect upon your life. And it will make you more effective in your witness, because you will be speaking with more assurance in your soul. You'll know more of what you truly believe, things most surely believed among us, as Luke reminds us. And it's very important to know what are those things that are surely believed among us. Because it affects how we witness. It affects the authority that we have when we speak. But then in verse 4, it says, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So here is a clear instruction and command from the head of the church. As far as God's eternal purposes are concerned, our abiding in Christ is secure by his grace. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Not one of the Lord's people will be lost. They are loved with an everlasting love. They are not of those branches cast off and burned, because they have a desire to abide in the vine, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But as far as our experience of this abiding is concerned, it is only known by faith and obedience. As we walk by faith and walk in love and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will abide in him and he in us. So there is an essential exercise of faith that's required of us, that we might develop and abide in him. And his abiding in us strengthens us, encourages us, guides us, protects us, develops us in grace. And so, what are the essential exercises then of faith for abiding in Him? How do we abide in Him? What is this spiritual gymnasium we need to be involved in our lives, day by day? Well, we need to look to Him by faith. We need to trust in Him by faith. We need to magnify Him in our minds. How much time do we consider Jesus? To grow in Him, to meditate on Him, to learn of Him, to magnify Him in our thoughts. All these are exercises of faith to develop our understanding and develop our Christian lives. And this is the key to our spiritual fruitfulness, abiding in Christ by faith, trusting in Him. And then finally this evening in verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Nothing of any spiritual good. So to survive in our Christian life, to live and to bear fruit, the branch must abide in the vine. It must continually draw its sap and nourishment from the vine. And we are called to abide in Him by faith. And He abides in us through the Holy Spirit. There's this blessed partnership, this blessed union. We abide in Him by faith. And He abides in us through the Holy Spirit. And in this unique spiritual relationship, only experienced by believers, there is a fruit. And in this relationship, there is a promise of much fruit, developing fruit, and good fruit. But the teaching of Christ is summarized by this timeless statement. A statement that will be true for both time and eternity. Without me, you can do nothing. It is impossible for us to bear any spiritual fruit without abiding in Christ. And here is the secret to fruitfulness and usefulness. Our first abiding in Him. We abide in Him by faith as we love Him. As we obey Him, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you follow me, take up your cross and follow me, serve Him, honor Him. These are some of the aspects in which we are truly abided in Jesus Christ. There is His exercise as we love Him, as we obey Him, as we serve Him, as we honor Him, and we abide in Him as we pray to the Father in His name, as we trust in His intercession as our great high priest, so we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because there is one in heaven who's interceding for us. And as we pray to the Father in the name of the Son, we are abiding in the Son, in the true vine. And then we abide in Him as we submit to His headship, His leadership, His authority, and His teaching. You see, friends, there is a teaching that's growing again in this day and age. It's called antinomianism, it's very much linked with New Calvinism. And the idea is that you believe in the sovereignty of God. You believe in the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, that you can never lose your salvation. But the idea is that you can still live as a worldling. And this is called antinomianism. And so in other words, it is meaning that you want to worship Jesus as the Savior, but you do not want to submit to Him as Lord over your life. You just make all your decisions without any reference to God. You don't, as James speaks about, go to one city and another city. We just buy and sell and make profit. There is no, what is the will of the Lord for me in this matter? There is no submission to the headship of Christ, to the leadership of Christ, to the authority of Christ, to the teaching of Christ. And so in reality, we're not abiding in the vine like that. We abide in him as we follow him and as we live by his example. We abide in him as we magnify him in our mind. And we abide in him as we study God's word and we increase in our knowledge of him, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. And so we understand by these words that the ongoing relationship with Christ requires love and commitment and faith and obedience to truly abide in him. It's an exercise, and we need God's help. But if you desire to do so, God will help you. If it is a concern for you to bear fruit, if it's a concern for you to live in him, God will help you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So today, then, this evening, we have been considering the greatest man that ever lived on this earth, Jesus Christ, called the true vine. He is truly great in that he is able to save unto the uttermost all those that come unto God through him. He's great in his faithfulness and wisdom. He's great in his love and his grace and his forgiveness and his compassion, his intercession. And whatever, wherever, whoever can come to Christ and draw from him the fullness of eternal life. He has died on the cross to bear the punishment for needy sinners, and we're all needy sinners this evening. And we're all invited to come, just as we are, that we might be forgiven and cleansed. And he provides for us freely as the true vine, daily grace for daily needs, and at last will ensure our eternal destiny in heaven. So what is the source that you are drawing from in your life this evening? Are you drawing from yourself? Are you drawing from your own strength and your own wisdom, your own philosophy of life, your own ingenuity? Or do you see this evening an absolute necessity to draw from Christ, who is the true vine? What are we drawing upon this evening to keep going on in life? Maybe the source that we are using is letting us down and we're running dry. No longer satisfying you, no longer supporting you. There's a void. And Jesus says this evening, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Without me, you can do nothing. Well, may the Lord help us to truly trust in him and look to him this evening.